Thanks for checking out the Reveal Vineyard podcast. Our mission is simple. Find God, find others, find yourself. That's it. We hope through these conversations, your spirit will be stirred. For more information on Reveal, you can visit our website at www.revealvineyard.com.
Last week, I started talking about agnosis, which is a form of blindness where you can see everything but see nothing. And I said that spiritual agnosis physical agnosis is very rare, where you can see but you can't identify what you're looking at. Spiritual agnosis is rather common. Now, there are millions of Christians that we see, but we don't recognize or really see what is taking place, especially when it comes to the moving of God. Jesus said in John 5 that my Father is always at work, that he's always moving, meaning God is always up to something. Prophet Hosea in the Old Testament said that the moving of God, the going forth of God, is as sure as the dawn. That you can be sure that God is moving as sure as you can count on the sun coming up tomorrow. So the question we ask is, how can we see what God is doing? We gave two examples. We didn't finish the message last week. The first one we said was to remove the blinders. Narrow thinking blocks your view. We talked about how horses have blinders on where all they can see is what is immediately in front of them. And we reference that to how oftentimes as Christians we will have a hot button or several issues that shape who we are, how we think, what we see, how we respond, what we say. And there are these few issues that we're so passionate on, and it filters everything that we encounter. And we said that when we're so focused on just a few things that we miss the moving of God in the peripheral. We illustrated this when John 9, chapter 2, when the disciples and Jesus came across a blind man who was blind from birth, and they asked Jesus, a rabbi, a term of affection, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? This was them with their blinders on. All they could see is what was immediately in front of them. They didn't see this as a guy who they could help. They saw him as a guy that they could have a theological debate over. And so Jesus was like, "This, you're missing it. You got blinders on. Take your blinders off, boys. There's more that is taking place, and you can't see it because of your tunnel vision of who sinned." And so they began to play this out. And we said that blinders often cause us to treat humanity's struggles as if there's not a real person on the other end. We gave examples of what some of these blinders that we may have. And it doesn't mean that your conviction or your opinion isn't right or isn't even biblical. It just means that we can become so focused on this that we miss what God is doing. My wife is an educator, and her calling into being a teacher is as strong as my calling is into the ministry. I mean, it's that strong within her. She believes in sowing into the children and a generation and raising them up and speaking into their lives, not just educating, but speaking into their lives to be the people that God wants them to be. And she, afterwards at lunch last week, she said, I can get a blinder on about education. And if you don't agree with me about education and the funding that education needs and the importance of it and what it means to our future, and she said, man, if you're against me, she said, it's my hot button. And I can go to war. And some of you have been on the other end of her war. And here's the thing. It's not that her passion is wrong. And I asked if I could share this with you. She said yes. It's not that her passion is wrong or even unbiblical. It's that, in her own words, if sometimes I'm so focused on that, I can't see what else God is doing in this situation because that's all I can see. And so he said, remove the blinders, right? God is working. Second one we said is get your hands dirty. Involvement sharpens your vision. John chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, we must work the works, this is Jesus saying, we must work the works of him who sent me while there is still day, because night is coming when no one can work. Jesus said, hey, boys, this isn't a sin issue. This is about who's willing to get their hands dirty that God might be glorified right now at this moment. And these are the words that Jesus still speaks to us today, that there is still work to be done. And when Reveal is at its best is when every generation is participating and sowing into the kingdom work that the Father is about. That means that God doesn't put you on a shelf until you're 20 or you're 20, 25, nor does he put you up on a shelf when you turn 65. That together, all of us, regardless of age, all generations working together for the common cause, getting our hands dirty for the sake of the kingdom message, that's when the church is at its best. And so I gave you that invitation, regardless of your age. First time here, you've been here for 6 years, 8 years. How are you getting your hands dirty? It's that important. How are you getting your hands dirty? Because there's work to do, and we were never meant to just go as a passenger on this journey. 10-year anniversary, my wife and I, we took a motorcycle trip through Colorado. There's my pretty baby on that motorcycle. I can assure you that she is on that bike for photo purposes only, okay? Her feet don't touch the bottom. She asked numerous times if I would teach her to ride, and my comment was always the same, not on one of my bikes. And so we did about 10, 11 days through Colorado, packed whatever we could, and you know, the bag's one of the greatest trips we've ever done. Now, as a passenger, it's good, right? She had a good time. She was a passenger. She fell asleep on the back of the motorcycle numerous times. I knew that because the snooze jerks were banging into my helmet. And, you know, I'd have to reach around and kind of elbow her. And other times, she in a roadside stand, she bought this big bag of cherries. And she pops up her face shield, and she's eating cherries. And then she has to spit out the pits. And she's spitting them, and the wind is coming this way. Well, we're going this way because it's howling. And the pits are hitting me in the face. I'm being bombarded with pits. I think she crocheted a sweater back there at one point. Being a passenger is good, but if you've ever ridden, man, there is nothing like being in the driver's seat, coming out of a twisty and cracking the throttle to get your juices flowing. You were never meant to just be a passenger in the spiritual journey that you're in. That God says, look, it's time for you to crack the throttle, get your hands dirty, stop eating cherries in the back seat, and start to experience what I've placed you here for. And so, I extend the invitation to all of us. We should all be serving somewhere. It's getting our hands dirty, and it's how we begin to see God working, because we get our hands dirty. Look at verse 6. If you have your Bibles, turn to John 6. I'm going to fly through this, but and having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with saliva, and he anointed the man's eyes with mud. Now, the guy can't see, obviously, but if I was the guy, as soon as I heard, I'd be like, what's going on? Hold everything right here. I was all for this until, is he spitting in the ground? And Jesus gets down and he's making mud. And I often read this passage and thought, why the mud? I mean, why mix it all together? You know, Jesus could have just spoke the word or put two fingers on his eyes or two fingers and or whatever. But I think the answer is in the passage that Jesus is like, hey, boys, there's work to do. And if you're going to be on my team, here's what it looks like. You're going to be down in the mud. You're going to be rolling in the mud with people's lives and the dirt of that they're going through, because that's what it means to be involved in the Father's business. And he's down and he's making mud and he applies it to his eyes and he says, now go and wash. And I think he was illustrating something for us. That if we want to be part of the Father's business, if we want to live a life, please hear me, that has weight and substance, it will require us to get our hands dirty. It will require us to sacrifice, to require personal sacrifice. It will require, there's times when it's not going to be fun and not going to be enjoyable, and we're doing it because we're sowing into something bigger than ourselves. Some of you have served at this church for 8 years since we started, and you've been faithful week in, week out, and you DVR the football games, and you push back family lunches so you can be here. Man, your sacrifice and your service has not gone unnoticed. You have made us, yes, you have made us into the church that we are. Here's the thing. We will never be the church that we need to be unless all of us are serving. I don't know how much clearer I can say that. Listen, time is short, man. Who knows how much longer? Jesus says that we must work the work as long as it is day, because night is coming when no one will work. You realize that there will be a time in this country when our freedom to proclaim the gospel message will begin to be shrunk. And then we're going to think, oh, I wish I said it when I had opportunity. Because now if I say it, hey, there's all kind of ramifications. Don't let another 6 months go by, another 8 months go by, another 12 months go by without being a part of what the Father's doing and getting your hands dirty. All right, so let's go through the last two. Here, you want to see the Father working? Here's what it means. Bite your tongue. Needless chatter blurs vision. Verses 8 and 9. And the neighbors and those who had seen him before, as a beggar, were saying, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? And some said, it is he. Others said, no, but he is like him. In other words, it just looks like the blind guy, right? Here's this miracle, right? The guy just didn't lose his sight 3 weeks earlier from a kick in the head from a camel. He's been blind from birth. Everybody knows it. Everyone's seen the blind guy. They've all passed him by. And suddenly the guy can see. And instead of seeing God work, all they can engage in is meaningless chatter. And they're missing what God is doing, and they're having this discussion, verse 9, second part. And the blind guy's like, no, I'm really him. Here I am. an amazing miracle. Could have been an amen moment. Let's see what God is doing. Where is this Jesus that we can worship him with you? But all they wanted to do is debate. And I found that too often Christians we're big into debating, we're big into arguing, we're big into pontificating, all these things about God, but really we're not big into serving. Here's my point. Less talk and more action. Less talk and more work. I'm not against conversation. I'm not against deep conversation. It's how we learn. Not against even against debate. But man, if debate is taking the place of our conversation, there's times I want to go up to Christians that I've known throughout my life, and they're always the first one in, always debating, always trying to prove you wrong, prove myself right. And at times I just want to say, hey, listen, brother, your value right now is so small in a kingdom perspective, because all you want to do is talk. Get involved and get your hands dirty. And then you're going to begin to see God do something significant. Less talk, more action. Here's some three things to look for on our words when we're talking about needless chatter. First, it's the skeptic, right? It's the one who says, that couldn't have happened, and you expect me to believe that, or this is impossible. And I'm not saying that we're naive, okay? But sometimes we can be such a skeptic that we miss what God is doing because we're already convinced that it wasn't God. What about the cynic? You know, here's what the cynic says. Whatever happened to him, it's not going to last. Whatever happened to her, it happened like that last year. She had this encounter with God. 6 months later, she was right back into it. Nothing's going to stick. Or my sister, there's no reason to even talk to her because she's never going to come to Christ. My brother, he's hard-hearted, right? It's the cynic. And then there's the complainer. The one who says, my life sucks. Why does good stuff always happen to everyone else? And nothing goes my way. And hey, thanks God, but it's kind of the least you could have done. Listen, if you want to see God work, check your words. Because words lead to our actions, and they lead to how our thoughts are formed. The skeptic, the cynic, and the complainer. Here's the last point. You didn't know I could preach this quickly. Here's the last point. Use your testimony. You want to see God work? Use your testimony. Everyone loves a good story. So look at verses 10 and 11. So they said to him, then how were your eyes opened? And he said, hey, the man called Jesus made mud, anointed my eyes, and said to me, go to the Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed and I received my sight. Now, that could have been a good moment for amen, but hey, they were needless chatter, right? Look at verse 12. And they said to him, well, where is he? He said, I don't know. Verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now, this is the big deal because these are the heavyweights. This is official. It's recorded. They had the ability to cast you out of religious circles, to excommunicate you. And so this is a big deal. Verse 14. Now, it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. If you were a Jew, you couldn't work on the Sabbath at all. So for Jesus to bend down, spit, and make mud, he broke the Sabbath, which is like the biggest sin because all they had on is blinders, and you broke the Sabbath, and they're going to miss the move of God because of their blinders on. Verse 15, so the Pharisees again asked him how he received his sight, and they said to him, he put mud on my eyes, and I wash, and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath, the blinders. But others took off the blinders and started to ask, how can a sinner do such things? And there was a division among them. Verse 17, and so they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him? Since he has opened your eyes, he said, he's a prophet. This blind guy wasn't even sure who Jesus was at this point. The Jews did not believe that he had received his sight, so they called in the parents of the man who had received his sight, and they asked him, is this your son whom you say, I love how they word that, whom you say was born blind? And they're like, yeah, this has been a great ruse that we've been doing for the last 20 years, all at one day to make you think that he received his sight, but you caught us. And so, you know, they can't see the miracle because of the cynic in them. And then verse 20. His parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, for he is of age, he will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone would confess Jesus as Christ, they'd be put out of the synagogue. So verse 23, therefore the parents said, he is of age, ask him. So the second time they called the man back, and the blind man, they asked him the same question. Now notice his story, verse 25. Here's what the guy says. They're like, tell us how he got his sight. And he answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. But one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. In other words, he's like, look, I don't have all the answers. I don't really know who this Jesus was. I don't understand all of his teachers. I don't know where he came from or where he's going. But this is what I know. When I encountered him, my life changed. And I pray that is your story. that you may not have all of the answers figured out. You may not know everything about what the Bible says and some of the deeper nuances, and maybe you've never even read the entire Bible. But your story is that when I came to Jesus, something changed in me. I was blind, and now I see. And a blind man is saying, all I know is I woke up this morning, nothing, and I encountered him, and my life is different. I pray that's your story. And I pray that you can communicate that story. Here's three questions to ask yourself about your testimony. First one is, what was your life like before you trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord? In other words, what were your attitudes? What were your needs? What were your problems? What did your life revolve around? How did you look for a peace and security? The second is, how did you come to accept Jesus and give him complete control of your life? What was it like the first time you heard the gospel message that Jesus died for your sins? What was your initial reaction? How did you feel? Was it positive? Was it negative? Did it take time? And then the third is, what's happened since you've trusted Jesus? What changes have taken place in your life? Were you blind and now you see? How has he changed your attitude or your actions or your marriage or broken from an addiction? What does that look like in your life? You get those three pieces down. That's your story. Listen, people need to hear your story because no one can ever take that away from you. You may not have all of the answers, but no one can ever take your story. When sharing your story, look at this blind guy, how he responded. First, refused to be intimidated. Here's the religious leader saying, they said to him, what did he do to you? They're asking him again. How did he open your eyes? And he said to them, I love this. I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? All these guys had to be like, right? I mean, this took some guts from this guy to speak this to these religious leaders and these Pharisees. And like, are you thinking about converting too? Right? Refused to be intimidated. Second, he rejects the rejection. And they reviled him, verse 28. It means they hated him, right? They're ready to drive him out of the village, and they're rejecting him. And they said, you are his disciples, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. Verse 30 and 33, and the man said, why, this is an amazing thing. And here's the last point on sharing your story. Refuse to be intimidated, reject rejection, and then don't wait to share your story. Notice what he says. Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God, he does his will. God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a blind man, a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Man, this guy, never been to a Bible study, never sat at the feet of Jesus, was not baptized, and he's just throwing it out there. He's like, look, you can't take away my story. Blind see. Don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers. But all I know, when I encountered this guy, something changed. And then they said to him, you were born in utter sin. Why would you teach us? And they cast him out. So they throw him out. And then Jesus heard that he's thrown out. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they'd cast him out. Having found him, he said, I love it that Jesus finds the guy again and kind of brings him in and says, I know this has been like a crazy day for you, but let me settle things down. And Jesus asks the question, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, and who is he? Listen, the guy's never seen Jesus before, right? He'd never seen anyone before. All he heard was the voice of Jesus, got some mud put on his eyes, and now he wants Jesus as king, as God, but Jesus asked him, he's like, I don't even know who he is. If you point him out to me, I'm going after him. Look what Jesus, last verse, 37. You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And notice his response, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Hey, your Jesus encounter, does it cause you to worship him? Do you realize that when we fully grasp the scope of what God has done in us, that's really our only response, of to begin to proclaim his mercy and his favor and his greatness. And my challenge to us is that if you have a Jesus story, blind, see, our response needs to be one of thanksgiving and worship to him. Our response needs to be one of, God, why me? And yet you continue to lead, continue to shine, continue to give grace, continue to love, even when I don't deserve it. You want to see God working, church? Here's my challenge to you. Remove the blinders. Narrow vision blocks your view. Get your hands dirty. Involvement sharpens vision. Bite your tongue. Needless chatter blurs vision. And use your testimony. Everyone loves a good story. Stand with me, please. And they said it couldn't be done. All right. Now here's our challenge. We can hear the message. We can say, all right, some things to think about. Or we can go out and do it. There's work to be done, people. In your family, work to be done in your neighbors, in your school, in your coworkers, there's work to be done. And when I pray, I'm going to ask that God would give you someone that he wants you to take a step of faith towards and to start getting your hands dirty in their lives. Pray with me. Lord, I don't want us to leave here without a person that you are targeting for us. Someone that you have already been working in, already been stirring, already doing something in. God, we want to step into that moment. And so would you just impart that to us? It might just come to your mind quickly. You may see a face in your mind's eye. Maybe their name pops in your head. The Holy Spirit, would it be from you? You might not even know who they are. Maybe just the face because they're a neighbor down the road. And the Lord, when we have someone, would we get our hands dirty? And would we take an enormous step of faith, an enormous risk to go out and to see what you're doing in their lives? And for some of us, maybe it's telling our story, our Jesus story. Others, it might be actually praying for them. It might be inviting them to church. It might be asking them out for lunch. It might be bearing their burden with them. God, I pray that we would be believers, that we would be a church where everyone has dirt under their fingernails. It's the only way that you created us. You created that all of your church, all of your people, the people that formed the church, that we would all have our hands dirty doing something. Because together, we see you working. Together, we partner with what you're doing. And I speak that over us. Let this week be one of the biggest steps of faith we have taken in a long time. The word for us this week is risk. Take a risk and see God working. I bless you. May the Spirit of God rest over you, over your family, over your household. May you sense the presence of God this week. May you sense him smiling upon you. May you sense his love and his leading and his guidance. Would you sense his compassion and his comfort for those who are hurting? Would this be a week that your testimony is, I've sensed God. I experienced God. And that when we gather next week corporately, we come to worship him. Speak that to you. In the great name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.